Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Friday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day. First up, new figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show almost 3,000 patients were left waiting more than 12 hours for a bed at a Kent hospital in January. Three out of four trusts that cover the county recorded their worst ever emergency figures last month. In 2020, that figure for that long a wait was just five people. Well, Ken Rogers is a campaigner for Concern for Health in East Kent. He's been speaking to our colleagues at KMTV.
Unfortunately, it's not surprising. This has been on the cards from early next year. In fact, from probably years ago, it's a build-up. The worst crisis before in East Kent was 2017 when we had the bad times then. But the fact that people are waiting in corridors, and believe me, I was one of those some time ago, probably 2001, 2002. I spent 3 days in a corridor in one of the hospitals. Nothing's changed and nothing will get better until something radically is done about some finance in East Kent.
And what is it that would you say is the problem? Does it go beyond money? I mean, why is it that we're ending up with patients in corridors?
Well, obviously it goes beyond money, but I mean, I have to say we have some fantastic staff in all the hospitals in East Kent. They have been brilliant, and I personally think seen it. But unfortunately, because of the way that the service is designed in the three hospitals, and they've been long waiting some transformation, I think that's one of the problems. You hear a lot about the term that used to be bed blockers that's now called delayed discharge. That's not going to go away, and we all seem to blame it. We keep saying, oh, there's these many people in hospital that can't go home because there's no beds at home. Well, there isn't. The fact is that in 2016, they tried to remove 200 beds from the hospitals around here. We fought that. They didn't do it. Now, I think they are quite happy to say that they need more beds, and we just need more beds. A delayed discharge, whatever you like to say, will not go away. We need more beds in East Kent, and we need the investment for that to come forward.
You can see the data for your local hospital by clicking on the story at Kent Online. That's where you can also leave us a message about what you think. Well, NHS providers say this winter has been the toughest many leaders can remember. We've also had a statement through from NHS Kent and Medway. It says NHS staff have worked extremely hard this winter to provide patients with the best care, but were under significant pressure because of a rise in flu. This increase meant that, unfortunately, some people waited longer than we would have liked for hospital treatment. Getting your flu and COVID vaccinations are important. They protect you and your family, but they also reduce the pressure on NHS services in winter, which is always a busy time of year. As I say, you can go and see that data by clicking on the story today. You can also comment by leaving a message on our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a drug driver who seriously injured a child in Gillingham has been jailed. Danny Butt jumped a red traffic light on Woodlands Road in June 2022 and hit a 10-year-old boy who had to be flown to hospital. The 42-year-old from Brixton has been sentenced to 3 years and 10 months. He's also been given a three-year driving ban. It's emerged a convicted sex offender from Tunbridge who was banned from contacting children, met a teenage girl online, and then started living with her. Jake Booth began chatting to the girl via an internet group he set up. The 22-year-old from Pembrey Grove has been jailed for 3 years. Plans to raise the amount of council tax we have to pay in Kent by 5% has been approved. The authority is said to be facing a £150 million growth in spending requirements in the next financial year. Bosses have agreed a new budget to help raise revenue and cut spending. The new owners of a former hotel in Gravesend are being investigated for allegedly renting out rooms before getting permission. Whitbread sold the Premier Inn in Singlewell last November, and studio flats have been advertised for £790 a month. Well, it could be a breach of planning if it was listed as a hotel, not a residential building. A spokesperson says they were given incorrect advice and posted the listing prematurely. Now, next today, the MP for Sittingbourne and Sheppey has spoken about his experience with HIV during a debate in Parliament. Kevin McKenna says the diagnosis and treatment of HIV and AIDS has changed since he was diagnosed 20 years ago. He says we're on the brink of stopping all new transmissions and has called for more testing.
I was 11 when I realised I was gay. That was in 1985. It was just as everything was hotting up around the AIDS pandemic. It wasn't a very, it was a pretty scary world to step into. By the time I was properly coming out in the early 90s, I met lots and lots of friends, but friends and lovers who had AIDS or HIV. I spent a lot of time going to hospitals, and it was there that I realised that actually nursing would be something that suited me. So actually it was partly in response to the AIDS epidemic that drove me along the career path that I did. I also remember the abject terror of getting early HIV tests, particularly, you know, before I was a student nurse. It's like it could have stopped that career dead in its tracks at that point. So I think I've lived like I'm not going to comment on everyone in this room's age, but I've lived like many people in this room right the way through this pandemic. And of course, by the time I was finally diagnosed with HIV, it had changed again. But that's still 20 years on. So I've lived a long time as an HIV positive man. I've lived a long time in my life, you know, starting off with friends taking tablets that did have quite severe side effects, some side effects that actually were very unpleasant and actually led to them still suffering from HIV and then AIDS. But at the same time now, it's whittled down to one tablet a day. And as I get into my 50s, it sits alongside my statins and my arthritis medication, all the other medications that we all have at a certain point in our lives. And that's the difference. Yes, absolutely.
I commend him so much for his passionate speech and his lived experience. Earlier this week, I attended another event, and Elton John's AIDS Foundation was there, and Richard Payne, who leads on their, he's one of the directors, mentioned that wouldn't it be great that in a few years we could have an injectable form of PrEP? Does he think that that's the advancement we need to see to help address HIV?
Thank you very much for that intervention. I mean, yes, we've already got injectable forms of HIV medication, particularly for people with chaotic lifestyles. They only need to take a jab once every couple of months. It's a real way forward that will further help us eradicate this. I've also been reflecting, actually, in my nursing career, those patients I've nursed for who didn't know that they were positive, who became incredibly sick. They developed AIDS without knowing that they were positive, coming straight into an intensive care, waking up to find out that they were positive, massive disruption to them and their families, and it was stigma that was driving that. And people don't have to live that way. People don't have to suffer that way. So a very strong message today is, honestly, just everyone just get tested. Get tested, everyone do it. It's absolutely fine. It is just a little scratch on the finger. And there should be no stigma. You won't pass this disease on when you're treated. You won't actually suffer. And honestly, it's boring and mundane. And I think in the community of gay men, it's been very boring and mundane for quite some time. I think in wider communities, just catch up with the rest of us, frankly. If everyone's tested, we'll get there. The one thing I would say to ministers is actually opt-out testing has been extremely successful. There are diseases out there, like hepatitis C, that can be completely eradicated. You don't have to be on a tablet for your whole life. You're just a few weeks' course. If we can identify those people through opt-out testing, we can tackle several diseases with one effort and eliminate those as well.
Kent Online reports.
200 cannabis plants have been found after police stormed a flat in Thanet. Cash and a mobile phone were also seized from the property on Ethelbert Terrace in Westgate. A 37-year-old man has been arrested. A man's been taken to hospital after being hit by a car at a crossing in Ashford. Emergency crews were called to Tithe Barn Lane in the Singleton part of town yesterday. We're told his injuries were minor. Now we now know which parks in Thanet will become smoke-free as part of plans to prevent children from breathing in secondhand cigarette smoke. Vaping will also be discouraged at sites including Jubilee Park in Birchington, Dame Park in Margate and Boundary Park in Ramsgate. Signs that will be displayed are being designed by local people with workshops happening at schools. Staying in Thanet, and we're told work to create a new health hub there is moving at pace. £10 million will transform the Carey building on Northwood Road in Broadstairs. It'll include a GP surgery and diagnostic centre centre, with the possibility of things like a dentist as well. Well, Kate has been chatting to Una Windibank, who's the chief exec of Invicta Health, which runs the current GP surgery nearby, and she started by giving us an update on the project.
So at the moment, we have gone to planning and we are working with the district council now on a number of conditions that they've raised, mainly around having some legal documents in place and having some agreements around a travel plan, because that's the main concerns that were raised in the planning committee. But we've got full support from the members of the planning committee, so we're progressing at pace now. We have commissioned our contractors and they are starting work as we speak. We are working through all the legalities that have to sit behind this, you know, around the leases, arranging equipment, ordering equipment, refitting the building. Our plan is to try to get to a place where we can start some services from summer of this year. Now, that timeline's quite tight. And so what we're working on is just ensuring that we understand all of the things that need to be in place in order to do that. But it will be an incremental build. We will move services in as we are ready to do so in a consistent and stable way. But it's progressing very well. We are also in the process of having a number of engagement events with the public to talk about both the facility itself and what they would like to see going into there in the future, so they can help to influence that. And they're taking place at the moment. We have a number of those planned. And we've got an online survey that is out for people to also be able to contribute that way. We're also engaging with our staff, so staff that will be affected by the move and those that might be affected in the future, just to be sure that they're fully appraised of what's happening. They've got their opportunity to talk about any concerns they've got, any ideas. We've had some fantastic ideas from both them and patients, actually, which is great. And so we get a really collaborative model when we go forward, and everybody's really informed of how that's going to work.
You've been very busy.
We have been very busy. It's a really exciting project and it's going to make a real difference to people of Thanet, and it's really good to have some good news and to be able to share that, and also to get people involved in thinking about what that could look like and how we could really make it work for the benefit of the population of Thanet, which, as you know, has its challenges.
Kent Online reports.
There's a warning: drivers will face a long diversion when a stretch of the A2 is resurfaced. Work's being done on the coastbound stretch between Brenly Corner and Winchester. It'll start on February the 27th and finish on March 30th. Closures will take place overnight. Staying with roads news, and we've been told planned new signs to try and stop car drivers using bus lanes in Tunbridge Wells are too confusing. Red circular signs are set to be replaced with blue ones, which it's claimed will give motorists the impression they're allowed to drive there. But the town's MP, Mike Martin, says it's not clear enough.
The traffic scheme came in Tunbridge Wells about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And we don't disagree with the traffic scheme itself. We think it's a good thing, but the implementation has been really poor, and particularly the signage has been really poor. And it's confusing. You know, a lot of the signs are blue, and what they're really telling you is that you shouldn't go there, but they're blue, so they sort of imply permission. And now Kent County Council are doing a review of the scheme and extending it slightly, and they're compounding that mistake. Not only are they extending the number of blue signs, but they're actually taking out some of the red signs that we have and replacing them with blue signs. And so they're actually going to make the situation much worse. And it really means that over the last 2 years, whilst the Borough Council, myself, residents in Tunbridge Wells have all been complaining to Kent County Council, who are the Highways Authority, that the signage is wrong and needs fixing. They've ignored all of that, and now they're making the situation much, much worse.
Nearly 12,000 fines were issued during the first year of the route being in place near Mount Pleasant. KCC have told us they understand concerns, but the signs are compliant with the highway code. An old garage in Margate is going to be turned into a workspace for creative industries. The site on Harold Road has been acquired by Margate Creative Land Trust, which aims to provide affordable sites for people in the industry. They've already told us they're in talks with several organisations in the town on how they could use it. it. A renewable energy company is going to be brought in to ensure a huge housing development near Folkestone is net zero. The idea is to generate electricity on site at Otterpool Park through rooftop solar panels and a solar park with battery storage. 8,500 homes are due to be built there. And finally, Howard from Take That is going to be doing a DJ set in Kent. He'll perform at the Socialite Rooftop Bar in Canterbury next month. Bosses there say they've noticed a demand for live entertainment in the area.
Kent Online Sports.
We're going to start off with football, and Gillingham will be hoping to build on a better performance on Tuesday night as they return to Priestfield this weekend. They welcome 8th place Crewe Alexandra tomorrow. It follows a 1-1 draw at Walsall, which saw a cracker of a goal from Robbie McKenzie, and he's been speaking ahead of this weekend's game.
A little bit of instinct, really, when I got the ball. I just had the edge to hit it, and I think it was the right decision at the end.
You spoke to Andy after the game. You said you might have taught you one or two things in the whole academy. Has he got that in his locker as well?
Not that I've seen, but maybe over the years that I've not been with him, he's picked it up.
The contrast in emotion at the full-time whistle must have been so different to what it was at Barrow, because you come away from the league leaders probably thinking we should have won.
Yeah, maybe with a little bit of disappointment with the late chances that we had. But we'll take the point from the game, and it's something to build on going into Saturday.
The performance itself, probably one of our best of the season. Would you go along with that against the side who are flying high?
Yeah, I'd say it was one of the better ones. It was more of a fully team performance. I feel like we all pulled together, and now that's got to be our baseline of what we're going to perform like until the end of the season.
And what sort of game were you expecting on Saturday at home to Crewe? Well, I appreciate you've lost the last couple of games, but always tough nuts to crack.
Yeah, always. It's the Crewe way, isn't it? How they play. And they don't really deviate from how they play. So, yeah, we know what we're going to expect.
The Gills have now gone 10 games without a win. They're in desperate need of points in League Two. Kick-off tomorrow's at 3. You can follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, on Sunday. Ice hockey, and Kent's Invicta Dynamos are back in action on Sunday. They're taking on Oxford City Stars at the ice rink in Gillingham. The Mows are currently 5th in South Division 1 with face-off at 5.45. And finally, sporting facilities at a Kent school are going to be upgraded thanks to a funding grant from some of the UK's biggest sporting groups. Dover Christchurch Academy will be given £1.2 million to build a new 3G football pitch, refurb the netball courts and upgrade access paths. The FA Premier League and Football Foundation have contributed to the project. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, and you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the brief. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget, when you're on the website, to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for things to get up to during half term. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.